As we reported last night, Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein and her running mate, Sherry Honkola, were detained by police in Hempstead, Long Island yesterday for attempting to enter the venue for the presidential debate. They were held for 8 hours and released as the debate was ending. The Green Party candidates will be listed on about 85% of presidential ballots nationwide, but the authority that presides over the presidential debates says that's not good enough to be invited to participate. Speaking with us as she traveled to the airport this afternoon, Stein says the issue came to a head when they arrived at the gates to Hofstra University at about 2:30 yesterday afternoon and demanded to be allowed in.
And they said, well, you don't have the ticket, you don't have credentials, you're not coming in. And we said, well, this is beyond what the Commission on Presidential Debates has decided because they are illegitimate. They should not be controlling our elections and our dialogue and making a complete mockery of the debate process. And of course they said, no, you're not going in. So that continued for a while and we continued to press our way in, and eventually we sat down there and we were promptly arrested. At that point we were led to an interim detaining facility, I guess, just inside the grounds. We were processed, we were handcuffed, searched, and then put into a van and driven to a dark site, apparently, that no one was supposed to know about, where they were anticipating having dozens, if not hundreds, of detainees. But we were the only ones for most of the day and evening. But that's what it was. It was a warehouse previously used for the Highway Patrol, which I guess had been retired and then brought back into service for this purpose. We were the sole prisoners for most of the day and evening of 16 officers, three of them police and three of them plain clothes, 16 of them, and they felt compelled to keep my running mate and I, you know, sort of grandmothers that we are, tightly handcuffed with plastic restraints and rigidly bound to metal chairs where we sat, basically cuffed to the chair for 8 hours.
Were you eventually charged?
Well, we learned shortly before we were released that we were not even going to be charged with a misdemeanor. We were being charged with a violation, and that being disorderly conduct, and we're given a court date at discharge. But it's so incongruous, these two grandmothers charged with disorderly conduct, surrounded by big burly police officers, and we needed to be tethered with plastic restraints to metal chairs for 8 hours. It was really quite overkill, you could say.
How did the Commission on Presidential Debate arrive at the formulation that allows only the two major candidates to participate in the debate?
You know, this seems to be their reason for existence, and it seems to have been their mode of operating since they were created. In fact, they were created for the very purpose of avoiding real debates. It was as Jimmy Carter ducked to avoid debates that involved John Anderson, an independent candidate back in the 70s. It was at that time that the Democrat and Republican candidates agreed they would not continue with the League of Women Voters because the League of Women Voters didn't allow corporate America to run the debates and to hijack them. So Democratic and Republican parties opted out at that point. Over the decades, they did allow Ross Perot, who was also, you know, not so dissimilar from the corporate parties, had a similar agenda, also a very big money sponsored campaign. He was the only exception to that rule. Otherwise, there have been no truly independent candidates. So it's no surprise that when the agreement was leaked a couple days ago, and it was published, I think, in Time magazine, it was found that they had very specific rules that the Democratic and Republican candidates would never engage with an independent candidate, not on their stage and not on any other stage. The Commission on Presidential Debates is sponsored by large corporations, including Philip Morris and Anheuser-Busch and AT&T and the usual suspects. This is what they get for their money, is essentially an agreement to avoid the discussion of any issues that could threaten their hegemony over the economy and over policymaking in this country.
If you were allowed to participate in the debate, what would be the agenda that you would bring to the table?
There are many critical issues that the American people are clamoring to have on the table and to fix. So as the one non-corporate candidate in the race that's actually a national campaign, we bring those solutions. So we're talking about a Green New Deal that would provide community-based jobs that expand public works and public services, as well as small community-based businesses and worker cooperatives. We have a system which is road-tested and it works. We can directly create those jobs. It makes every dollar count for far more if they're directly going into jobs rather than tax breaks. So for the same cost as the 2009 stimulus package, we can put 25 million people to work and jumpstart the green economy. That, in turn, spells a halt to climate change and a way to make wars for oil obsolete. We're also calling for health care as a human right through Medicare for All. We're calling for education as a human right, including tuition-free public higher education. And while we're at it, let's bail out the students instead of continuing these outrageous bailouts of the banks. And finally, the fourth major issue we're calling for is right-sizing the military to year 2000 level. This bloated, wasteful military budget has made us less secure, not more secure, as we see from the incredible blowback taking place all around the Middle East. We'll still be three times larger than the next biggest military and have the money to put into real security.
Jill Stein is the presidential candidate for the Green Party. Stein says she and her running mate, Sherry Honkala, still hope to be allowed into the final presidential debate on October 22nd at Lynn University in Boca Raton, Florida.